Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Frontside Podcast, episode 101. My name is Charles Lowell. I'm a developer here at the Frontside, and I'll be hosting today's episode. Today, we're going to be talking about the different developer profiles that are out there. You might have heard mention of them on Stack Overflow, on job boards, on the Twitterverse, things like front-end, back-end, full-stack, half-stack, short-stack, things like that. With me to talk about these are Rob and Sam. Rob is our director of open source here at Frontside, and Sam is a software engineer here at Frontside. So, hey, y'all.
Hey.
Hey-o.
All right. So before we get into the meat of the topic, there are a few announcements that we wanted to make. First and foremost, this is some really exciting news. This week, Taras Mankowski officially joined the team at the Frontside. And we are really, really excited about that.
Woo!
Yeah. Exciting. Mm-hmm. It's super exciting. Not only is Taras a, exceptional engineer, he's got amazing code skills. He's extremely empathetic and a great person to work with. He's great working with clients, and he's also fantastic at really working with developers who are, climbing that ladder and helping them level up. So he's been involved in mentorship, like literally since I've known him. I think that was the first time that we ever came into contact with him was through his mentorship work at the Ember community. And we've been collaborating with him for years on several open source projects. And so we just are so excited and know that he's going to come on and do some amazing things by helping us be better developers, helping us be better community emissaries. And so lots of good stuff coming out of that.
Absolutely.
That is really exciting. So definitely wanted to throw that out there. So
too bad he didn't join a little bit earlier. We would have had a good time with him on this podcast.
I know. Well, I think he's been on the podcast twice. But yeah, there's definitely true. A couple of topics where his input would have been absolutely critical. I think it would have been great to have him along, have him on when we were trying to run our own apprenticeship programs. Those would have worked out, I think, a lot better. Well, not to say that the outcome haven't been stellar in some cases, but I think, having his expertise would have made it a lot smoother. That said, before we jump in, then just wanted to let everyone know that, as always, if you want to work with us, you can get to us at contact@frontside.io or send a shout on Twitter @thefrontside. Okay, y'all, let's jump into it. Like, what is even a stack?
So do you want to kind of set up where this came from, Charles? I think it came from like you and I going back and forth on Twitter. And I was like, what? We need to talk about this on the podcast.
Yeah, I think I was actually on vacation.
That's right. You were trying to ski.
I was on the ski lift. I saw you tweeting and I was like, no. I got to like respond to that. Probably because there was some maybe a little bit of disagreement, but also because I needed something to do. Looking out the majestic scenery of the Rocky Mountains wasn't enough. What's the backstory there?
So I can't remember what I was actually tweeting about, but I kind of feel like there is a distinction between a front-end developer, a back-end developer, and at this point, I don't know if a full-stack developer truly exists. I mean, it does, but it's used more often than it really implies like what they're doing. Like usually when you hear a full-stack developer, it's like, man, I can sling some code on the back end and I can do a little bit of architecture stuff on the front end, but CSS, keep that away from me. And in my opinion, if you're a full stack developer, you need to sling CSS too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I certainly agree. So is it, because I was going to ask, is it fair to say that like full stack developers code for like startup developer? Like
That's a good, like a utilitarian, good at like a jack of all trades, but not a master of any.
Right, exactly.
I can dig that. So like, I guess the way we can kind of start to dig into this one is like, how much distinction is there between a front end, a back end, and a full stack developer? And does that matter in a professional sense?
Right. And so I think my take was that the skill sets that you need in both places are actually much more convergent than you think. than people might think. In other words, the skills that you utilize on the back end actually translate very well to the front end. I think my stance is that what makes a front end developer and a back end developer is more the problem sets that you gravitate towards naturally, that the things that interest you. I actually was a back end developer, and now I consider myself to be primarily a front end developer. But the skills that I had developed writing back end systems in Java translated shockingly well into front end development with JavaScript. But it was the working on the portion of the program that interfaced with the human was the thing that fascinated me. And so it's what I gravitated towards. And so I guess, you know, in my conception or the way that I have been thinking about it is that what makes a front end developer and a back end developer is more what gravitational pulls you respond to rather than, you know, one particular skill set. But I know that you've got a perhaps more refined take on that or, you know, a different take.
Yeah. Before I do, I want to know what Sam's thoughts are on this. This would be a good one.
Where I come from in this sort of understanding of front end, back end and full stack is I did a boot camp before working here. So I did a development boot camp where they were really like excited to tell you at the end of it that, oh, you're a full stack developer because we've introduced you to everything, like touched on every sort of little topic. You're full stack, tell everyone you're full stack. And it's like, well, you're not really a specialist in any of the sense. So like what makes a difference to me, I'm going to specifically talk about full stack, but is like, before you can say you're full stack, having knowledge of front end and back end, you need to have like expertise in at least one of them first, or like understanding of that mindset first. Like if I say that I like front end work more, then I need to understand front end work more before I can say that I understand back end work, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like the bootcamp was doing you a disservice, or do you think they got like,
I don't think they did a disservice at all. Like, so they did a really good job. So boot camps are really for introducing you to everything. And then whatever you take from that is like your own, you know, so they introduce you to all the little things like database working and then JavaScript, Ruby, whatever it is. And then it's your job to figure out in those introductions what you resonate most with. So I think they did a really good job in that. I think that they shouldn't tell you what you are. Like tell you that because they touched on whatever it was that you're full stack.
Right.
So I don't think I did a disservice at all. Like I learned a lot, but I wouldn't say I'm full stack at all.
So what is, if you feel as though you're not full stack, what do you feel that you are?
Definitely front end. I gravitate more towards front end.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you feel that way? Like, is it because you're more pulled towards like the UI of things, or is that where you feel like you've gotten most of your experience now?
Actually, a little bit of both. I tend to like the UI of things a little bit more. It's interesting. Whenever I was going to the boot camp, I thought I was going to be more back end because I thought I'd really like working with, you know, the like behind the scenes sort of, you don't see this work, but you know, it's there. But I definitely like the UI of front end a lot more, just personal. And that's where my skill set is, because this is all front end work that I'm doing here at the front side. So it's what I know most at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm curious too, like, isn't it true that there's also a conception in the wider, I don't know, tech world that front end is limited to like CSS and HTML?
Ooh, yeah, like, that could be.
Like when you see job posting for front end developers.
Yeah,
typically it's like we want someone...
Like JavaScript developer is now like a single page app developer instead of front end. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like it's now, it could be considered as like HTML, CSS and not JavaScript anymore.
Which is so bizarre to me.
I'd argue that a lot of places want a front end developer who is also a UX designer, someone who wants to, or someone who has the knowledge of designing things from the ground up and then only working in things that look good rather than logic.
Yeah, this could be probably an entirely other topic, but that's like the front end of the front end and the back end of the front end. It's like, because there are developers and like, you know, single page apps have gotten so complex these days, like between your data layer and your testing and managing state on the front end. There's a back end, an architecture that you need to consider when you're developing a single page app. And I've worked on teams where like there are developers that are working on the front end, but they still don't like CSS. They don't do CSS things and they don't consider layout or any design. They just kind of take the ticket and they like get the data going, you know, get the data from the server, request it, display it on the page. And then another person would come through and style it up to this, to the spec or the mock. But yeah, that's interesting. So for my take on this is like, and where this actually really came from is we were going through some hiring and we were trying to figure out like how we can play somebody or hire someone that can be effective in the role that we immediately needed. And all of our immediate needs were in front end specific things. And, you know, we can actually talk about if they're front end or front end of the back end. But where this kind of came from and was born was, if we're hiring somebody that needs to fill a front end role and they were primarily a back end developer, they're just like gotchas and things you have to know to be an effective front end developer, that like quirky browser things that happen, or like how to set up a Babel transpilation setup, and like why, what are the gotchas here? Or like, you know, kind of the history of the front end web, because there's a lot of things that are there that can cause a lot of headache if you don't know the backstory. And I know from your perspective, Charles, you think, and this isn't wrong, but you think that like if somebody has like, if a really talented backend developer, it's really just concepts that you can apply to the front end. And I agree with
you
that.
You have to want to do it.
Yes, that is also a key.
You have to be gripped by the problem set of the front end. You want it to inspire you to leverage those solutions.
Yeah. So would you say there's a different mindset between a front end, back end developer and full stack? Like, does a full stack developer solve a problem that's different from how a back end developer or front end developer would?
That's a subtle question and probably one that, you know, might offend people, my answer to it. So I'll go ahead and answer it. Maybe not. I just, in my experience historically, I want to underline the fact historically, I think that it is people who gravitate towards the outside in mindset. In other words, the very first thing they're thinking of is, how is this going to feel to a person who's going to use this? If that's your first question that you ask, then you probably are going to gravitate towards the front end. Then in terms of like the back end, you know, I say historically, and like I said, I want to underline that, and I'll get to that like later. I think it's people who are more drawn to, I want to attack like the most complex problem that exists, you know, like, you know, distributing state over, you know, 10,000 nodes, like managing like huge, like deployment infrastructures that can, you know, drive these massive websites that happen at this like kind of mind-boggling scale. And so, you know, there you really are thinking computer to computer, and what's the ideal interface for doing that. And then on the front end, you're thinking more like human to computer, right? Because that's where the interface lies. Now, the reason
I
say,
let down, where's the controversy?
Well, because I think that like, basically, I think the controversy is saying like people who are more naturally empathetic, I don't know. Like that would be the controversy thing. But I want to say historical.
I can see that.
So like, I want to say historical too, because I feel like one of the things that's been magical about the last two decades of software development is kind of the dawning realization that no software you write exists in a vacuum and that it's all interconnected. And so I think that, you know, I, for example, feel very strongly, you know, while I try to think about the user experience first, and the developer, you know, I'm also thinking about like developer experience first. Like the way that you want to a system to feel is going to inform the design of like the UX workflow, and that's going to affect the architecture of the front end. And if you're interfacing with it through different media like websites, phones, I don't know, even like text messages, Slack, what have you. That's going to inform then the next level of like how your APIs are shaped, your public facing APIs, which then inform the structure of like your internal like deployments. So recognizing that the decisions you make at one end of the stack can ripple through completely, and they're not, you know, while we hold as dear these concepts of separation of concerns and complete and total isolation of layers, that really is false. But what it does is it enables us to change the individual layers to more. Ironically, the reason you want to have separation of the layers is so that it more easily lets you change them to provide a more integrated experience. So I think that that's a long way of saying that I think that, you know, front-end developers are more aware of what's going on in the back end and that they might be drawn into the back end. And same thing goes for like back end developers, realizing that like the decisions they make are affected by the front end and affect the front end. And so I think there's been, you know, a dawning more of a collective responsibility for design, for operations, for, you know, developer experience. And I think it's great.
Yeah. And like to piggyback off that, that's like, so I was kind of wondering where the controversy was, because that's kind of my exact answer too, is like, where do you gravitate towards on like the difference of mindset is like, where do you, if you got a problem and let's say you're a full stack developer, we'll get to whatever that means. But if you're given a task where you have to implement the front end and the back end, where you gravitate towards first, I would say, is like how you would attack solving a problem. Like for me, I would immediately go to the front end and see how a user would immediately interact with it and then kind of work out that way. Mm-hmm. Mostly also because I like having a tight feedback loop, and the front end provides that nicely. I can change something and immediately see the difference there. And in the back end, you can spend a little bit of time, unless you're TDDing, which you should be, you can spend a little bit of time piecing together things and figuring out the architecture, and then you'll have something that you could show for.
Right.
It's just nice to see UI get right. thrown on the page, you know, and it's like real, and you click a button and something happens. That's a really nice feeling. And that's kind of where I gravitate towards. And if I had to attack the problem, I'm going there first. I get the endorphins from it.
Right. So that's, you know, if we want to add like controversy to the other side, because right, you got to always be controversial, right? So we've said that, you know, the kind of really blunt, like horrible oversimplification is that people who are more naturally empathetic gravitate towards the front end. You could also say that, you know, from the other perspective, people who are more internally validated will gravitate to the back end, right? Because if you need to get those endorphins from working on the front end, basically what you're saying is, I want to put it in front of people and get the feedback from those people and know whether it's good or bad. Whereas, you know, you can say like, actually, I don't need validation from other people. I've got this concept of this architecture that is going to be the ideal thing. I know it. I've got this vision and I'm going to like chase it regardless of like, you know, what's going on. Then, you know, I think you can more readily do that on the back end, because you're not as open to the feedback of a whole bunch of different users. And like I said, I think those are gross oversimplifications.
Yeah, I agree. And to like, as a devil's advocate towards the back-end developer that is less empathetic, I think actually some of the best back-end developers I've ever worked with were the most empathetic people ever, because they know that software is for humans and humans are going to be consuming the API that they build. And, you know, they take that in consideration.
Absolutely. And I actually think that, you know, empathy pervades good software development just wherever you find it, because someone's going to be using your APIs, whether it's a like software as a service, you know, or it's a library. Like if it's a software as a service, like it's got to be easy to work with. It's got to be performant, you know, it's got to have a nice like command line. And so you have to be thinking at all times, what is it like to use this software? What is it like to consume it? What is it like to link it into my library? What is it like to call it from a web client? I think you're absolutely right. I think it's actually one of the great virtues of great software developers.
Yeah. So something that I've always kind of had a question with, especially coming from that bootcamp setting, is there any sort of like tribal separation between what you would consider a front end or a back end developer or even full stack. Like, I'm better because I understand data layers better than I understand how a button fits on a page, you know, that sort of thing.
I would say absolutely yes. I mean, there is, if you look like at the, do a quick poll of like the Twitterverse, it seems like people tend to hang out in little circles of similar interest. So there's definitely a bunch of people that I follow that are always tweeting about backend stuff.
Twitter is build your own echo chamber.
Yeah. And there are people who are, you know, I follow that are, you know, tweeting nothing but, you know, mostly front end. When I say front end, I mean front end of the front end. Well, basically from CSS down to nothing deeper than like React components. And then there's people who are talking primarily about the back end of the front end. I do think that people, they are different areas of the stack. And I think that people do like tribalize around them. So the question is who are the border agents? Or like because there's always cross-border trade. Like anytime you have like borders, there's an exchange of ideas and information and things that happen at kind of those layers. And one of the things I'm really curious about is how does that happen?
Yeah. I mean, you might have the best perspective on this because, you were using like Java Swing back in the early 2000s building UI, and like that's like back end things. And then you had a lot of experience with Rails and you know, Java, you moved into the JavaScript world. And the thing that I've noticed with front end is we're applying a lot of concepts that existed on the back end, and we're moving all that complexity into the front end. And that's kind of where that like fuzzy line of, are you the front end of the front end? Or are you the back end of the front end comes from? And it's interesting and this is going to be another podcast that we'll end up talking about this, but like we have MVC libs on the front end. And like in React, your C is a container component. the controller is a container component. The model is probably your Redux layer if you have it, or if you're using microstates. And the view is your components, your view layer of components that you're rendering down. So these concepts are moving from the back end to the front end. We're just kind of renaming them and like making them our own concept, but they're there. And like, so how does that knowledge sharing happen? Is it really just like a mass exodus of back end developers like interested in front end developers now?
I don't know. I think it goes both ways. So I can only speak to my own experience. And that was when I first started doing front-end development, was back in 2003, I think, so almost 15 years ago. We were building a touchscreen interface for an electronics vendor in the UK. And it was just so much fun because we were getting to build these interfaces that like literally looked like nothing else, and you could touch them and like, you know, it had like support for rudimentary gestures, and there was no keyboard. And basically the only interface was your fingers and a price scanning gun. And like everything else, like all the entire UI had to be developed out of that. And so it was such a novel system, and it was so fun to implement that I just gravitated towards it. I think the thing that was particularly compelling was it was a very like interactive UI, or it was high touch, literally. Like, you know, this is a clerk who's sitting there using this thing as rapidly as they can to sell stuff and move people through the line. So it was like a unique problem. But the thing that was cool about it was I realized so many, like we kind of already touched on in this conversation, so many things that I had learned on the back end, like applied there. And there was, in order to provide that experience, there had to be a pretty complex machine behind it. And that was fascinating, like that machine. And so, you know, we were able to apply like a lot of the concepts. And so like, you know, in that time, like on the back end, I had just come off working off a back end that had an event bus, which all these, we would probably call them microservices now, although we didn't call them that then, like we're coordinating based on all these events. And that like translated over into the front end really, really well. And I remember using a lot of the techniques for exception handling on the back, like doing it in the front end and kind of doing a lot of the multi-threaded stuff that we were doing on the back end, kind of trying to reconcile that with the front end and really like understanding. So there are all these analogous concepts. And it could be like, so there was an original exodus of like back-end development for me personally. And so for me, it was like, I felt like, you know, I moved onto the web pretty much exclusively in like 2006. And it was a good, I would say like 2013 maybe is when web UI development finally caught up with like Java Swing. Like it was like that whole time I was like, I'm using the web because it's an awesome deployment platform and it's like got all this great stuff. But man, the developer experience is not as good as like a stateful fat GUI was back then. And now, like, I would say it's actually surpassed quite significantly. So, but now I think there are a lot of people maybe who either, I think there's a casting back of people who are in front end development and casting back to the web. So like right now, you know, kind of my love affair with immutability and functional programming started by using, you know, a Clojure web framework, which borrowed a lot of the ideas from Clojure. So I guess there was like an exodus there, like people from Clojure wanted to develop ad apps, wanted to have their goodies. But then I found that and I was like, whoa, that's awesome. But then that really set the hook for me. And so now I try and like go back to the well, like the backend well, or like the shared computational well as much as I can. So like, you know, all of that stuff of, you know, basically discovering all this functional programming stuff, this, you know, highly formalized functional programming all came from saying, wow, I got a taste of that. Let me get more. So it's very much like trying to, you know, run through the village of the backend and like ransack the stores and take as much as I can and bring it back because I know that it's good.
Earlier in the podcast, you said that you were a front-end developer. You described yourself as a front-end developer. And that's funny because I actually consider you a full-stack developer. it's because you can jump in on the back-end and sling any kind of code that, as well as anybody could. And then you can also do the same thing on the front-end. So the question I have here is, do you think actually somebody that it truly is a full-stack developer, and we can define that in a second, but do you think they're at an advantage here because they have all that experience? I mean, you can answer yes, but like why do you think they have an advantage?
I think they have an advantage in the same way that a person who's bilingual has an advantage. So if you are, you know, living in North America, it behooves you to speak Spanish because you are now open to an entire set of markets that were previously closed to you. Well, not entirely closed, but like you can trade with Mexico and you can trade with South America. You can buy and sell goods. You have access to, emerging technologies that might, something special might be happening in Mexico City or in, you know, Medellin, Colombia, and you're gonna have like first access to that. And so you can, if you're not bilingual, then you're gonna have to go through an intermediary who is. And so there's a premium, you get to be the middleman, so to speak, or you get to be, maybe there's that has kind of a negative connotation, but you get to be the broker of new ideas and new technologies. You know, if you are fluent in backend, so to speak, then you can go into backend Landia and you can talk with the developers there and see what kind of cool stuff they're doing. And then you can take it across the border into frontend land and sell it. Right. That's like, I think like we're very much we're ahead of the pack in terms of functional programming because we've seen it proved out. And, you know, we've now actually started to integrate it into our day-to-day routines and we're ahead of the pack on that. Right. Yeah. And so I think that's kind of a keystone analogy for me that I think really, really captures what is the advantage in being a full stack engineer.
So, well, how do you define a full stack engineer or developer? What things do you have to possess to actually claim that title, right? I think in order to be a full stack developer, I personally believe you have to be comfortable with CSS. You can hate it, you can yell at it, but I think you have to be able to put together a layout if a designer gives you a comp. In order to claim full stack. And on the same token, like if you're a full stack developer and you mainly came from the front end, you should be able to implement back end features. I don't actually have, so I'm strong in the front end, not so strong in the back end. What would be the like analogous of CSS on the back end? Would it be like mocking your controller actions or
I would say you should have a familiarity with HTTP and REST would probably be the equivalent, kind of like a foundational technology that just every single technology is oriented around it or most, right? So even regardless of the protocol you're using, I mean, there are things like GraphQL, which are not really RESTful, although it's a blurry line there, but they're still delivered over HTTP. And so like understanding things like cores, understanding kind of the things that are going to be universal to APIs.
I think a lot of people try to claim full stack. I try to claim it. And mm-hmm. I know I'm not. I can put together a pretty crummy Rails API on my own for like personal projects. But I'm not going to be the one that's like setting up indexes on a database right. to optimize a database right. or anything. I think that does come in time, but you have, like, borrowing from Brandon Hayes' talks about, like, career development, like, if you're a full-stack developer, I think you end up having to be in the industry for a long time, longer than what we consider a senior developer these days, I think, because you could be a senior developer and be specialized. And right. we see that all the time, and that's okay. But in order to amass that knowledge and experience, I think you have to be in the industry for a long time and done those things a couple times to really know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no, I agree. So can I add something there to continue the analogy of being full stack is like being bilingual or multilingual. I go back to those analogies a lot because that's what linguistics is what I studied in school. But, you know, when I was studying linguistics, one of the things that was going on there is they were kind of redefining
that makes so much
what it,
more sense with your vocabulary.
what it means to be bilingual. There was kind of a reorientation of that definition that was going on while I was in school. And that was being bilingual doesn't necessarily mean you're able to converse about poetry or like deep technology or, you know, give speeches in another language. It really is. It's a spectrum of.
Ooh, that's quite interesting. Kind of,
the definition of bilingual is like, do you use another language in your life? So if you are, let's say, someone who is a recent immigrant to a country and you only have, you know, let's say you've got less than 1,000 words, but you're using them to, you know, buy groceries, to pay bills, to do things like that, then you are bilingual. Bilinguality is not an exclusive club. It's really, are you actually using a language? So if...
Ooh, so that actually gets my wheels turning. Like, does that mean that you can have a junior full stack developer, right? Because like, if you just merely speak the both languages, technically by that definition, like I jive with that. Like, you can speak two languages, you are bilingual. You can write in two different languages, you might be full stack. But right, like, does that mean in the software industry, you are a junior full stack developer, and then as you go on and get tasks that are full stack like, you get mm-hmm. better on both sides? Or is it, as an industry, we really have to specialize?
To start on the first point, I think that if you, like, let's just restrict it to one language. Like, if you're doing JavaScript on the front end, like, and using Node.js on the back end, if you're writing Node code, you are, I would say, by definition, and certainly by the definition of bilingual that, you know, I just proffered, you would be considered full stack, a junior full stack developer, like I was saying. And I think that it's just been my experience that as you go on in your career, like, you will cross multiple layers of the stack just because you can't keep your hands off, right? Like, if you have an ownership mentality of like, here's this thing that needs fixed and it's on the back end, I'm going to go ahead and learn a little bit of how to do this because, you know, I need it to work with the thing that I'm working on. Right.
Like, yeah, that makes sense.
You will just naturally be drawn over borders throughout your career just because someone's got to do it to do.
Yeah,
the
and you got to solve a problem.
Right. When you've got to solve a problem. So I think that people become more and more full stack over the course of their careers. But that said, I do think that there are clearly areas where functional specialization is just absolutely a requirement. Right. Like, if you say, you know what, we've got this API and we need to support 600 queries per second, and we've got this like huge, crazy deployment, and you know,
I will not be your person to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Right, like that's something you're very much, that is someone, something that you're very much like hiring for, and you want to be hiring for, like you said, someone who has the skill and someone who that's what they want to do.
Yeah, like if you need better state management and rendering performance and testability on the front end, I'm your person.
Right.
if you need me to scale your API to handle hundreds of thousands of requests a second, nope. So yeah, I agree with the specialization. So Sam, I want to know, has this conversation like swayed you anyway? Like, are you more interested in being like full stack, or are you like leaning to a side more?
So I think full stack is, it's as much about skill set as it is about personality. So like you were talking a little bit earlier on how like someone who's front end might have more empathy towards the user and someone who's back end might have more empathy towards like the computer and then the developer rather than the end user. I think someone who's full stack has to have like a wider range of empathy so they can empathize with all rather than just one or the other sets. I think personality wise, I'd be a fine full stack developer, but I think professionally wise, I do gravitate towards the front end because that's just how I am as a person. I like to see the visual rather than the concept. I do a lot of painting. I do a lot of drawing. So I'm a very like visual person. So it's really helpful to me, especially for someone who's junior and who's still learning and who came from that boot camp experience to be able to see what I'm changing. So I think it does kind of go a little bit into experience as well. So I think over time, when I start touching on maybe some more back-end work and I see some stuff that interests me, definitely I'll gravitate towards it just because I want to learn. But I don't know that it's like an intrinsic quality you would want to be full stack or be back-end or be front-end, you know?
It's interesting. Yeah, I agree with that.
That is actually a really interesting point because I think kind of what I heard you say there is that when you have like software is a hidden world in many ways. You talked about at the beginning of the conversation, the areas of the sight unseen, like you know it's there, but it's hidden from view. So there's a certain amount of kind of vision that needs to develop. So you kind of internalize what software, like this hidden software looks like. So what does a deployment of, you know, some load balanced like microservice cluster thing look like, right? Most people would not be able to answer that question. But the more time you're exposed to it, the more it becomes burned into your inner vision.
Mental model?
Yeah, you develop a mental model. Your brain literally like wraps around that. It takes time, but on the front end, especially if you're a visual person, but I would say even if you're not, I think the same would apply to someone who's using assistive technology. It's still something that you can feel with your senses and you don't have to develop a sixth sense to perceive it. So there's literally a problem of perception there. And so maybe front-end work is a great on-ramp for everybody because it's so perceptual. And
that's exactly why I picked it. I was trying to do iOS dev before and I could not do it for those reasons. Like I didn't have that nice tight feedback loop of, even though it was UI, like in Objective-C, you had to construct your UI and buttons out of Objective-C, unless you wanted to use Apple's Interface Builder. And that was, everybody built it procedurally. And that's what I loved about HTML and CSS was I could instantly throw something on the page, attach some CSS to it and see it change immediately. And that felt so good.
Yeah, no. And it's important, right, to get those really tight feedback loops, especially when you're starting out.
So if we had to tie this back together, did we decide that there is a distinction between front end, back end, and full stack? And if there is or isn't, why?
I think there's kind of a distinction, but it's also really fuzzy, I would say. So like if I'm going to explain what the difference is between front end and back end to someone who like maybe isn't a developer, I would always go back to like a video game. So like when you see when you see your guy running around and you're like, "Oh, this game looks really good. I'm really into these graphics." But do you ever think about what it takes to save the game or what is actually being saved when you go to save it. So if you're more interested in making the guy run and making the guy and the environment look good, you might gravitate more towards front end. But if you're really interested in like saving the data, like, well, what is being saved when I hit save to this slot or whatever, then you
or
might
like the network layer of the online multiplayer. That's interesting. I've never used video games as that analogy. I always go like, you know, if you're a front-end developer, you know that button that you click? That's the button I create. And then the action that happens is usually what the back-end developer does. I think I like the game analogy better.
I think the game analogy is something that most people can grasp. And like most people can grasp, like I'll tell people the difference between front-end and back-end if I'm talking about Facebook. Like what I do for a job is I'll show you everything that's on your Facebook page. And when somebody... or the back end is somebody who like makes all of that come into play, kind of, you know? But I think video games are easier to conceptualize that abstraction of like data being saved rather than trying to explain the intricacies of Facebook to somebody.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that. So I guess if we achieved consensus, would we say that these do exist as broad functional categories, and a full stack developer is someone who will move in between those functional categories through the course of their career, and that generally the trend is that the longer the career goes, the more you will do that?
Yeah, I can get on board with that. Like, and I'm going to use your career as like the guiding post of that. The way you just explained it, kind of made something click for me. You described yourself as a front-end developer. And I think in our industry with software development and the way teams work, I think you end up specializing no matter if you call yourself a full-stack developer or not, because I do think you're a full-stack developer. But you've mainly been working on front-end for the past, what, 3 years, 4 years? So I think it's okay to call yourself a front end developer, but you're also you are a full stack developer. But as you specialize around and amass that knowledge, that's where you become that full stack developer, right? And so, like at one point in your career, you were a back end developer, and then now at this point in your career, you're a front end developer. But now you have those experiences, and you can draw on both of them and apply them across the fields, right? That's like super interesting to me. Maybe it is that you have to specialize in order to achieve the full stack, and you're never truly a full stack developer in your role. But, you know, it's possible depending on the team and the team dynamics. It's just interesting that you can be a full stack developer, also at the same time be specializing as a front end developer at that current time. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
All right. So it sounds consensus achieved. Let's all virtually hug.
Send the hug emoji.
All right, everybody. That is our show for today. We are The Front Side, and we build software that you can stake your future on. We would love to hear from you, especially if you have an idea for a future podcast topic, any news that you think is something that we should discuss, even if it's not the theme of the whole episode. We will... see you next time. As always, you can give us a shout on Twitter at The Front Side, or just drop us an email at contact@frontside.io. If you enjoyed today's podcast, it was produced by Mandy Moore, the inimitable Ruby rep. So thank you, Mandy, and see y'all next time.